1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Our Father, we yield ourselves unto thee today, trusting that there is a Holy Spirit, God, sent from heaven to enlighten us, to guide us into all truth. Oh, how we pray that we would understand more what is the will of God and find deep peace in submitting to it, believing that God does all things well, believing that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us, believing that we are to rejoice always, and again I say, rejoice. We pray, Lord, if there are souls here who have not been reconciled to God through faith in Christ, today they would hear and believe the gospel. And we pray that all of us would be drawn into the sweetest fellowship that we've ever known with the Lord who loves us with an everlasting love, who sent his Son to die for us, and his Holy Spirit now to convince us. Bless us, please, as we continue. In Christ's name, amen. Again, our text today is 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That verb show means to present, display, to hold forth. We're holding forth. Look at this. We're holding forth the death of Christ. We're examining his death. And it is the Lord's death, not his birth, on which we tend to focus a special way at Christmas time. It's not a focus on his resurrection, which we tend to focus on in a special way at Easter. It's not a focus on his teaching, which we focus on throughout the year. It's the Lord's death that we particularly examine. And we don't examine everything about his death in a single message. Today we're not going to look at the manner of his death, or the cause of it, or the time of it, or the audience, or the place, all of which have their significance. We are not going to look today at his physical death. There is a time to gaze upon a victim of torture, writhing in pain, unrecognizable, observed by his mother. There is a time to focus on his physical death. There is a time to focus on his spiritual death, but that won't be our focus today either. The spiritual death of the Son of Man, who cries out, quoting Psalm 21, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, abandoned me, left me to myself, to suffer unaided and alone. Oh, burdens are so much more difficult to bear when we are all alone. We picture the withdrawal of the people who knew Achan, his neighbors, his people, his nation, all withdrawing away from him when it was time for him to suffer. We don't think kindly on Jezebel, but I feel for her when I think of how her entourage all backed away and she was left alone and isolated to suffer her fate. Burdens are much harder to bear alone. And here, in the spiritual death of Christ, you have the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, the last hope of the suffering, withdraw from the Son who never knew anything but perfect, intimate, complete fellowship up to this point. Oh, dark, bleak isolation, spiritual death. But that's not going to be our focus today either. Again, we can't look at all of Christ. We can't even look at all the death of Christ. We're not going to look at his death physically or his death spiritually. Today, we're going to focus on Jesus' total, perfect, unblemished, lifelong death of self. He died to himself. Jesus died on the cross because that death was the will of the Father. And Jesus always did the will of the Father. He said in John 6 and verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said in John 4, 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 5, 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. Matthew 26 and verse 39, when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We read in Galatians 1, 4, that Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The death of his, he had no self-assertion. He had no plan apart from God's. He emptied himself of all aspirations and lived entirely and completely and perfectly for whatever was the will of the Father. Now, Jesus Christ's perfect death to self is pictured in the temple offerings. Not particularly the sin offering. In the sin offering, sin is confessed onto this live animal. The animal is slain, carried without the camp, outside the wall of the city, and dropped like so many a sack of rocks onto the ground and in all ignominy, and there burned there on the earth. It pictured Christ becoming a curse for us, the curse being carried out of the camp and being judged outside the camp in shame and ignominy and rejection. Now that speaks much, the sin offering, but it does not speak of the death of self particularly. That we see in the burnt offering. Remember how different is the burnt offering than all other offerings. Other offerings that were designed to be observed by the priests and by the people, somebody got to enjoy the meal. Either the priest alone or the priest and his family. Sometimes the priest, the family, and the offerer, they all get to eat of whatever it was that was offered. But nobody gets to eat this offering at all. Not the burnt offering. The burnt offering was 100% offered unto God. So everything was burnt to a crisp, to ash. 100% offered to God. And strangely, even though it was all going to be burned up, the offering was segmented. You had the head set over here. And you had the limbs set over here. And you had the intestines over here. And then you had the fat set over there. And they were washed with water before being burned. Of course, the washing with water representing the Holy Spirit working through the Word and cleansing. And the head represented as all the thoughts being committed to God, the limbs, all one's walk committed to God, the internal organs, all one's emotions and affections offered unto God, and then the fat, one's vigor, all everything completely, utterly, 100% offered unto God. And it's all burned only to be enjoyed by God. Complete offering unto the Lord. As such, the burnt offering represented entire surrender of self to God in everything. What were the first recorded words that Christ spoke? It was when he was a boy, and he said to his parents, wist ye not that I what? I must be about my Father's work. What were the last words that Jesus spoke? It is finished. Now that's very significant, friends. Because this same death to one's own will is to be seen in us. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, if any man, no exceptions, if any man would come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross how frequently? Daily and follow me. So if any of us would follow after Christ, indeed be Christian, then we would deny ourselves, even unto whatever is the will of God, including the cross. And we remind ourselves of this every day, daily. I am crucified with Christ, Paul says. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ says, Paul says, I die daily. Death to self. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, we're told in that familiar text in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, that you present your body a living sacrifice. That is, place yourself on the altar of the burnt offering. 100% expired for God. Not your own aspirations. Not I want to do this, build this, travel here, accomplish these things, experience those emotions. None of that. You lay it all on the altar. If God gives it to you, great. But it's all surrendered to him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. What's that mean? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, it's all linked to death of self. If any of us would come after Christ, we must die to self and live under the will of God. Now, we must consider that sometimes God lovingly gives gifts to remind us of this high calling. Think of Jacob. Jacob wrestled with a man we find is representing in some way, perhaps the Lord himself, perhaps the pre-incarnate Christ. Jacob is wrestling with God. And through the hours of wrestling, then the Lord touches Jacob in the hip. And the hip gets popped out of its socket. Now, have any of you ever had a limb popped out of your socket? Very painful, right? Imagine, picture him, they're wrestling, and the pillar of his strength, the leg, the hip, it's also an excruciating pain. Then Jacob holds on to the one with whom he's wrestling. He says, I will not let you go, save you, bless me. Yeah, if he wouldn't have grabbed on him, I think he would have fallen flat on the ground. And we read after that that Jacob walked away with a limp. Perhaps he had it the rest of his life. A reminder to him of a walk with God requires total dependence on God. Jacob was given a hip out of joint. Moses was given a speech impediment. Imagine selecting the person to be the mouthpiece of the Lord of Israel, and he has a speech impediment. It might have been stuttering, it could have been a cleft palate, it could have been a number of things. But that speech impediment could have taught Moses ever to lean on the Lord and his will. Paul saw things nobody else got to see. He got to see paradise. He saw things that normal people, even in the eyes of faith, have not seen. The Lord gives him what probably is a loathsome eye disease to remind him of his reliance on the Lord. Reliance to walk, reliance to speak, reliance to see. This is the way of God who lovingly gives us gifts to remind us of the blessed loss of self when you surrender completely to the Lord for his will. Now, what's true of Jacob? What's true of Moses, what's true of Paul, is true of us. The Bible says it is God which worketh in you, he says to Christians, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. In fact, if you would please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, we are reminded that this is the way of God, laboring in you and me, to cleanse us from any self-absorption and self-will. Find us more and more dying unto the will of God, knowing he does all things well, knowing that we have no rights to claim in the beginning. This is a presumption on our part. We are the Lord's. We're the people of his pasture. And he can do whatsoever he wills to do with us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, we read, wherein you greatly rejoice concerning your salvation, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The word manifold does not mean many. It does not refer to number, but variegated. It means all different kinds. This is the experience of a growing Christian. You get to be subjected to this kind of trial and that kind of trial and then this kind of trial, and then here comes another one that you hadn't expected, oh, and that kind of trial. And he goes on to say in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, we're to count it all joy when we encounter these various trials, knowing that they are used to perfect us and to purge us. Concerning Jesus Christ, finally, verse 8, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's what we do when we're given new trials, to remind us that any man who would come after Christ must deny himself. But we have an opportunity before us. I say yes because we are a body and we are a family. I've already talked to my family about this opportunity, and I've spoken to church leadership. Now it's time to speak with all of you. Jacob had a hip out of joint. Moses had a speech impediment. Paul had an eye disease. Your pastor, I am told, has a brain disease. You're familiar with the term Parkinson's. My neurologist says I have it. Parkinson's is a disease where certain areas of your brain which control certain motor functions like walking, talking, and certain non-motor functions like thinking, there's sort of a slow death creep occurring as neurons are being destroyed. It's a progressive, degenerative, and incurable disease, we're told. It does progress rather slowly. I'm told that it is not uncommon at all to have good 5 years, maybe even 10 years, before there are manifestations of it which cannot be masked. So you put on a certain medicine to replace the dopamine which is not being created, sustained through these neurons. And you see what happens as the years go by. At this point, there's no need, I don't think, for rash actions, and the leadership feels the same way. We watch and do what is God's will. And I might say, frankly, excited to see how we will be more than conquerors through him that loves us so. Since I came here in 1991, I've always had as a primary objective always to be able, always prepared, always study hard enough to bring forth meat from the pulpit, not milk. And if anything, I would redouble that effort now. That's my purpose. That's my goal. And if there's a need at some point to make an adjustment or prepare for something else, we'll address that then. But again, my neurologist assures me that all he can tell, we got many years ahead of us yet. I share this with you because I'm going to ask you if you could... Would you take the journey with me? I think that a church has a variety of spiritual gifts, and I could use them to learn what to do. I'm already doing a number of things. I'm exercising a lot. I could take up boxing. I'm told it's one of the most curative things that can be done. I'm memorizing scripture, because an active mind has a way of neuroplastic rerouting. I just know what God can do. In every trial that we've had so far through these years, we've been more than conquerors. We will be in this one. But if you're willing to ride this with me, I'd appreciate your support. Again, spiritual gifts are many. And also that through this it can be a means of growth for all. There's nothing, but it's in the providence of God. I fully believe this. There's a little bit of emotional adjustment that happens when you draw the black bean, you might say. But you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know when the Lord's going to return. And I would just say, I honestly and fully, I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I would say along with Paul, most gladly will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what I wanted to share.